Welcome back to another episode of The Growth Equation. It's a very interesting time, as we know right now, with everything that's happening through this pandemic. So Raul and I got to take a step back and really have an insightful conversation that we really hope that can help take your minds off things as things have been transpiring. We wanted to really have an insightful conversation with the two of us is like, where do we think the industry goes from here after this pandemic? And like, what changes? How do companies think about growth? There is probably going to be some type of focus around sustainability and moving away from this growth at all costs. So what does like that next like 5 to 10 year roadmap look like for what companies to be focusing on? Do we think different industries are going to be changed because of this overall, talking all the way from airlines and travel to restaurants? We just had a really in-depth conversation at a very sensitive time for people. We hope you guys just enjoy it, and it's a way to kind of take your mind off things as if we're all going through this process right now, social distancing. So we're going to kind of just jump into the episode. So let's get started and really hope you guys enjoy it.
Hey, Greg, how's it going?
Oh, not too bad. Yourself? It's a, you know, interesting time, social distancing.
For sure. Yeah, it is definitely interesting. I mean, we've recorded a lot of our podcasts remotely anyway, so that's not new. Although we had that one, I think we did that one or two times, that really fun using our podcast setup here at the Feedloop headquarters. Yeah. And that was pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's the great thing about podcasts is that you can do anything remotely. So yeah, all you have to do is just press record and just have a great conversation.
For sure. Well, for the listeners out there, what we wanted to do in this podcast is just have Greg and I kind of chat back and forth about the situation around us. Obviously, it's top of mind for everybody. It's affected everyone's lives and jobs, and it's a massive impact, unprecedented in a lot of ways. You know, there's some things about it that are, at least for me, frustrating. There's some things about it that are encouraging and exciting. There are others that are depressing. So it's a whole spectrum of emotions. And Greg and I were just chatting a little bit before this as well. Here in Toronto, especially in the tech community, we're seeing a lot of change in terms of how companies are structured and layoffs and all of that as well. So it's a very turbulent time. And we thought in this episode, Greg and I would just chat about it. And I'm really curious to hear your thoughts, Greg. When you look at it, the situation from above right now, what is your overall feeling and assessment of this? You know, at one point, I remember you and I were quite skeptical about all of this. And when I was, you know, rushing to get masks and all of that sort of stuff and figuring things out, and then the NBA canceled, and then I think things really clicked then in your mind. How do you feel about this, Greg, last couple of weeks?
Yeah, it is pretty crazy how things have transpired so fast. I think in a lot of ways, none of us took it that seriously, right? And I think that's the classic like conundrum that like human beings happen. It's like you have to make the mistakes to learn from them. And I found on my end, what was interesting was like, yeah, it wasn't until like, I think I watched all the different sporting teams like shut down. And then when they started shutting in the border and they were like, it's time to come home, then that's when you know, like, okay, things are really serious. And like the world is going to be completely changed forever. And I think it's crazy how much things have shifted and how much change has happened in like, think about just the month of March in 30 days. Like, I feel like I live in a new world now, but I'm not sure about you, if you feel like the same way, but like, it feels like it was a lifetime ago, but in actuality, it was just a few weeks ago. And I think that is what I think was so like interesting and like what's happening and heartbreaking at the same time, watching, you know, individuals go through things, if that's like reductions or you're having health problems because of this virus that's spreading. So it's definitely an interesting time.
Yeah, it's trying. I think a lot of people, and I'm not expectedly so, are not very prepared for something like this. I was expressing before our call sort of my frustration or confusion about like how our own governments are just so ill prepared for a situation like this. And that's a separate conversation. But yeah, it's definitely a very, very, very challenging time. So Greg, how have you kind of handled working from home and all of that? Is that something that you all used to do before as well? And have you developed any new sort of ways to stay focused and all of that? I know you've been finding it to be a much more productive experience.
Yeah, so I think it's super interesting because like, you know, my background in working for different companies is like, you know, you work from home for like once a week and you go in the office like 4 days a week, right? And, you know, I work for flexible organizations that focus on just like getting the job done. So you can kind of work from home when you want. But now you're kind of in this like complete remote experience. And it's funny, it's like, after, like, you know, human beings are a creature of habit. We know it takes like 21 days to develop that habit. And you can clearly see it. It's like, kind of adjusted to that life. What I find too is like, I don't have like this commute anymore. I find I'm much more efficient, like, with my time. I have all this like extra time on my hands that I didn't have before that I can either dedicate it to work or a passion project or a hobby, which is really, I think, really interesting. And I think what I find is definitely more productive, like, just doing your own work, because you're almost like, you don't have those times in those office when you get distracted or you're talking to a colleague. But there's a lot of positives that come with that, with like human face-to-face interaction, right? That is probably, you know, really important for like mental health and taking those breaks. I definitely find like sometimes, like, them, maybe depending what you're doing in a meeting, if it's like, you know, you're doing a brainstorm or you're doing a working session, like, a little bit harder to do those like online. Now that I think there's some great online tools out there that, you know, that I've been using to be more successful, but it really makes me think like, well, what will normal look like after? Like, do we become like a work from home culture and office space is really expensive? So maybe as we think about, you know, ways to like reduce costs overall, like, do you really need that big fancy office? Or you just might need like an office space where now it switches. You work from home 4 days a week and you go in the office one day a week. And it's just this meeting space to go in to do like face-to-face meetings sometimes that you might need to do. It really left me thinking of like, well, what does it look like? Because like, I feel like this is going to go on for a while and we're going to be used to working from home. It'll be really, 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 really interesting. But I don't know about like yourself and like, you know, as, you know, the leader of FeeLoop, it's like, I know, you know, you guys, you know, were very much about like coming to the office and, you know, a lot of face-to-face interaction. And now, you know, as you know, you're completely remote. Like, has it changed your thinking about how you think about work from home?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't have any strong reason for it or for against it. But now, I mean, if you rewind the clock a month ago, I was strictly against, you know, work from home or anything like that. I couldn't understand in how that would, you know, really fit into the high growth collaborative culture that we have here. And then we had no choice. So we had to transition. And what I realized for myself is that, you know, and we were talking about this before as well, I've just always worked individually on my own, always. So, you know, school, even when I was a kid, even when, you know, I was building FeeLoop, when it was kind of just myself, I love kind of just being on my own. And it's been a long time since I've had that experience. And I really, it's just such a comfortable place for me. And I know it's not for a lot of other people. So personally, like, I'm really enjoying it in some ways, as long as everyone again stays safe. But that's just me. Culturally and organizationally, it's been a big shift. And yeah, you know, I made a very conscious decision that you know, we are a company that's based on that person-to-person interaction. And we're not trying at all, aside from very small things, to sort of maintain that. I think it's very clear that like things are changing and things have changed, and better to adapt and develop a new culture around that and adopt that culture instead of trying to force something that was ideal for a certain situation with certain constraints into this new world order. And like, I think things will return. You know, we don't know exactly how long, but they will return. It's interesting, you were mentioning about the office spaces as well. A day before they started the lockdown, we were about to sign a 5-year lease on a massive and expensive new office, and we pulled out. And, you know, we still are not committing to that. You know, we've been talking with our broker, and it's very clear, you know, unfortunate in a lot of ways, but in a city where we had the lowest vacancy, you know, even compared to the Valley when it comes to commercial real estate, now we're going to start seeing a lot more in the sublease market, and landlords are desperate to try to close deals. And it's a very, very different situation. So in certain markets, you know, it's a buyer's market, you know, say in commercial real estate, and in others, you know, it's on the seller's side. So we're seeing a lot of things flip very aggressively. So for us, our team has changed. Our team has adapted. Even our business. I mean, you know, we serve the events industry, so we're seeing just a massive cultural change there. The events industry is predicated on that face-to-face, person-to-person, like live interaction. And it's so unfortunate to see all our customers and all their work kind of sort of dissolve in front of their eyes. And our mission for the last month has just been to build new technology that enables that. And when it's just really inspiring to see, you know, event planners, when they see our new tech, their eyes sort of light up that, hey, we still, you know, these new tools that that are very specific to the world of business events are going to be able to maintain that face-to-face interaction, that real-time ability. We don't have to reduce to just a webinar, things like that. So the cultural change on our customer side is very evident, and being able to adapt to that is just as important to us as it is internally. So a lot of change, Greg. Now, I want to shift the conversation a little bit and talk about what we normally talk about, and especially in this unique context, which is growth. You and I, we've always had very strong opinions on how important it is to build sustainable businesses, the importance of unit economics, all of that. I'd love to hear kind of your broad assessment on what the future of growth for companies sort of looks like, at least over the next few months. And I'm sure it'll have downstream effects as well. And what kind of companies do you think are going to make it through this and perhaps even thrive?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. You know, I really think that from, like, call it a growth, scale up, startup, different types of companies, this is like a watershed moment. And I think we're starting to see like a massive market correction, right? In a lot of ways. If we think about just like the tech industry as an example, like what we're starting to see is like what we saw previously was like massive valuations, the growth at all costs. And you saw a little bit of this change happen, like with the whole WeWork stuff and how like a few of those tech companies, like I think it was like the Uber and Lyft and like the Slack IPOs, they weren't the greatest, right? And they really struggled to build like profitability. But I believe like this is like the real thing that's like that shook people to the core about like thinking about how you build a sustainable business, right? And focusing on not just like growth of how many users you have or how much top line revenue you have, but really understanding your like proper unit economics of like what's the lifetime value of your customer versus the cost to acquire them, right? And having like really, you know, sustainability about that. And I think in a lot of ways, people don't focus on like the right metrics. And what they do is like, you probably see this in the industry, it's like how successful you are is really built on like how much money you raise and how many employees you have that you have working for your company, right? And that's when someone's like, oh, well, I have to like work for that company. When actuality, no one really asks like, oh, are you profitable? Are you at break? Like if you went to someone and said like, hey, we're an early stage company, we raised a bunch of money, but we're actually at break even right now. And we just need to focus on like moving up. And you'd be like, wow, like this is a business that has sustainability. Like they're being very delicate and managing their costs and doing those things. But at the end of the day, it's like, as you see in this, like this, you know, across industries, we're obviously seeing like, you know, reductions of like employees overall and like in staff. And like, I think that's just the reality of like this growth at all costs mentality where like, you know, for some of these companies, you're at zero. Like if you have something, you have to visit a physical location. Or, you know, if you look at, you can imagine the travel industry and the restaurant industry, they're just being completely destroyed with this, right? And it's like, now companies are in like survival mode. It's not even about like, oh, doing this thing to so we can get to the long term. It's like, how do I keep the lights on for the next month? And I think those are some of the changes that like we're really going to have to start to see, you know, and I think in a lot of ways, it's like, people tend to like gravitate towards like those really cool, like consumer brands. When in actuality, a lot of those consumer brands aren't that profitable. And if they are, they're like these iconic brands that have been around for a really long time. But usually the more sustainable businesses have some type of like really strong recurring revenue that solve like multiple like pain points that are really about building like platforms that are, you know, have like really, really strong margins. And they've built ways to acquire customers that are very cost effective organically through like, it could be like a strong word of mouth, or it could be stuff that you generate from an SEO perspective and less reliant on like, you know, Facebook and Google ads. And I think some challenges that businesses have is like the first thing from the very beginning, you usually get off the ground. It's just like, you have this money in the bank. So you're just trying to specifically achieve like targets on an ongoing basis, right? And you kind of get stuck in this like hamster wheel of like, of just doing that and in a cycle, but it's really hard to step back in a lot of ways and build this like sustainable growth. I think what you'll start to see from this industry is like companies now being like, okay, let me make the decisions, what we have to do to survive. And then let's now focus on building sustainable growth so we can control our own destiny. And like, how do we get to break even? You're going to start to see a mindset shift where it's not like we're going to 3X this year. Maybe we 2X or 1.5X on like, say, like top line revenue, but we're really focusing on our unit economics and getting to like a break even point. And I think that's where a lot of the change will happen. And I think it'll be really, really interesting, because I think what will happen with a lot of these companies is they, you know, you're hearing a lot of temporary layoffs right now, right? Where it's like, hey, we don't have any revenue coming in, so we just have to like lay off our staff, but then we hope to hire them back on when this normalizes. When in actuality, like, a lot of these companies probably won't hire the same number back, because they're going to be so focused on sustainability that maybe it's like, I can only bring back a quarter because the other three quarters is going to build unsustainable growth. And I think it'll be very interesting to see that when we get through this, like, what does the world look like, right? Like, do we have like a lack of talent, right? And like, we have a talent gap, and like, and the key thing for companies to be successful is like finding talent. What happens if it flips now, where there's not, companies aren't hiring, but there's all the talent looking for work, right? Like, do we get into like that type of mentality, right? Where it will be very, very interesting to see like what happens here, but it's really going to be for these companies about sustainable growth and like doing things the right way and not doing things that are about like maybe the artificial things of like how much money you raise, how many, saying how big your company is by how many employees, and like doing like the really cool like things that want to make you, it's almost like keeping up with the Joneses, and you want to have like that really amazing brand that everyone loves, right? If you have to ask yourself, like, why did you get into this service business in the first place? And ultimately it was about solving a real fundamental problem for someone and to build a sustainable business, right? And I think those are what's going to happen, is it's going to be more around that. And I think it'll be really interesting to see how much more, if you start to see companies through bootstrapping, and like for any recession or downturn, there's going to be a million companies that pop up because of this. You know, a lot of people become entrepreneurs and founders because they were laid off and now they want to start their own thing and they want to have control of their destiny. So I think it's going to be super, super interesting to see where we come about here. I think on one end that I always think about is like, how has your like mindset shift as you think about like Feedloop in general because of this?
First of all great points, especially ones about solving real problems. And those are fundamental like rules of business. And I don't know along the way, like how that gets lost for some parts of, especially the tech world and all of that, just like solving non-problems. And they're going to be in a tough spot. For Feedloop, Greg, like, I mean, it all comes down to preparedness. You know, I think there obviously our industry is suffering, but, you know, I personally, and I think that, and our team at large, I think, you know, this is what we've been training for. Like, this is not unfamiliar territory. We're a nimble organization. You know, we're able to move really fast, and this is our turf. And, you know, as a startup, especially as a bootstrap startup, and I think that's what really is the thing that set us up right now. And we're going to have tough times ahead too. I mean, but we're going to get through this. I know way stronger and way better than we ever thought we'd end the year with. I know it. And it's just, we got to focus really hard right now. I'll get back to that. But I think being a bootstrap company, and, you know, we haven't raised any VC funds, not a penny of debt, nothing. That's just made us so resilient. And we've always been fighting an uphill battle, that this is just another one for us. And I think that a lot of bootstrapped companies and founders would probably say something very similar, that they've always, always been just every day it's a fight. And eventually you break through and then things smoothen out. It takes much longer than companies that sort of race through that, burn through cash, are always looking at, you know, how much runway they have. That's never been a thing for us. So for us, like, we're more than prepared for this. And that, I think, is one of the most important things. If somebody's listening to this who's going to start a company, great idea, lots of problems to solve, or anyone else who's kind of in a difficult situation as everyone else is right now, like, I think if you're in survival mode right now, and this is everything I'm saying in this conversation is specifically towards the tech industry. Like, I feel I feel for a lot of the restaurant industry and all of that. I mean, there's a lot of innovation that can happen there. Air travel, like all of these, there's some industries that are just so, they have one product or one service, and it's just been so devastatingly impacted by this. But in the world of tech, I mean, tech, the great thing about software, the great thing about tech is that you can change and adapt so, so quickly. I mean, a lot of our companies that are suffering right now, they're based on app and web and mobile technology and all of that. It's so easy to like see what's happening and adjust your business model if you need to, even temporarily, and just keep up. So I think if you're a tech company and you're in survival mode, I personally feel, you know, those types of companies are as good as dead right now, because, you know, government funding is not a solution. Proper unit economics, like you said, being ready ahead of time and having savings, you know, having a good team and being able to make decisions quickly, that those are all fundamental things that I think will differentiate who not only survives, but who actually thrives in this whole situation. And Greg, I personally feel it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better, a lot worse. And even if it doesn't, I would say whoever's in the world of business or, you know, taking care of a team or anything like that, like, assume it's going to get a lot worse and work with that assumption. And that'll probably be the best thing for us. And, you know, I sort of decided a couple of weeks ago, like this is like a wartime like situation, and that I flipped a bunch of switches in my mind and behaving in a very different way and thinking in a very different way. And I just, I hope we make it through this thing a lot stronger as a company and not just focused on surviving. So, you know, there's so much to talk about here, but I just think the resiliency of building a company that's focused on sustainable growth and real profit is going to succeed and come out on the other side of this whole situation.
Yeah, I think it's like just on another point on that. It's really interesting because like it's going to be one thing like when things normalize, but there's going to be like a trickle down effect of like from an economic standpoint that we'll probably feel after the fact, right? You know, as an example, when I see, you know, big organizations that have made like announcements to say like, hey, you know, they're not going to be downsizing from any of these coronavirus coronavirus in general. Like, I think that's super valid for an organization, but like as for a lot of these, like as an example, these big like publicly traded companies, what will probably happen is like they will greatly affect their earnings over the next little bit, and you might not see it like immediately, but like in 12 months from now, we can see specific reductions because of that, because the economy took slower to come around, or in very specific industries, it didn't come back in the same way. It just never did, right? But in the same way, like you're going to see other places and other industries and organizations explode from growth because of like the new trends that are going to be coming from this. You know, you think about like remote culture as something, as a trend that will probably pop up, and like those companies that are well positioned for there. Like, I wonder if it also like expedites like different industries that maybe took longer to adopt, right? Like I think grocery, as an example, like grocery delivery was a great example of this. Like I think that was something that had been around and some people have been doing it, but you can imagine right now that like these delivery companies from like Walmart to Amazon to except to even the smaller guys out there, I wonder if you see that you've almost built like this habit where, you know, you've gotten people to adopt something. And maybe that adoption costs them an incremental more amount of money, but now because they're used to it, they get back their time and convenience, right? I wonder if there's like, because of those things, there's all these like different little sub industries that like pop out because of it, right? I think it's going to be really interesting to see like what happens like after this, and not just after this over the next few months, but what does this look like a year, 2 years from now? Like, and what happened because of this, like basically this watershed moment that we were experiencing for like basically the first time in our lives.
Yeah, Greg. I mean, I think just like any war, and you know, we've had the good fortune to not live through any ourselves, but I wouldn't say this is probably too dissimilar from that in a lot of ways. You know, it is definitely a watershed moment. I think, you know, there's for companies like, especially, and most of my opinions, because that's all I have, you know, experience with, are like small to mid-sized tech startup type companies. You know, I think this is the opportunity to really rebuild core systems. You know, for us, I know if this happened a year ago for us, we were too small at that point, that it would probably be quite devastating, and it would have a big impact on us. And if it happened a year from now, we would be too big. You know, we might be 30, 40 employees, you know, we'd be in a different situation, and we would be too slow to change and too slow to adapt. Right now, I feel very lucky that we're experiencing this if it had to happen. At this time, because we're in this mode where we're very nimble, and now we're focusing a lot on rebuilding core systems, innovating very aggressively to meet the new demand in the market, and that's very possible, I think, if you're set up and timed right. But I want to push back on one thing, Greg, that you were saying. I do agree that there will be a lot of new companies and a lot of new industries forged out of this whole situation. But the same way I think a lot of companies right now are suffering because they were founded, I think, on trends. Trends are fleeting, and there will be some that will remain. I don't know about this, you know, work from home thing, or, you know, in our case, like virtual events and conferences and all of that. But you know, there, I would say it's just as big a gamble as any other time. There were probably in other crises that came before us, companies that were formed with that same intention that, you know, they were going to become big because this is a problem that everyone's facing now. But then people go back to their original ways quite quickly as well. And yes, there are success stories like Shopify's and Uber's and Lyft's and Slack and all of that that come out of situations where consumer behavior changes and the world changes. But I'm sure, you know, there's just as large a number of businesses that fail. So what I'm trying to say is before and now, like building a company on a trend is a very irresponsible thing to do. I think if you're solving a very deep problem, to your earlier point, that is the way to go in this time, and I would say forever.
Yeah, I think what's interesting on that is like a lot of times the concept we're talking about is like there's like differences between trends also to like a fad in like a lot of ways too, right? And it's like, you know, sometimes you find it, you're lucky enough to solve a problem where the trend, like you have a sustainable trend, right? Like I think Shopify is a really good example of that. Like, you know, they were got into the space of the e-commerce of helping small businesses at like the right time where there was just this general massive organic trend that was happening, right? And I think in our case, what will be really interesting is like, will there be like organic trends that will happen that will have the ability to see like for potentially entrepreneurs to come in to solve big problems like in that space because of these things that have happened, right? Like I think after this happens, like what could happen is like we might notice things in our planning process or even our healthcare system that are problems that need to be fixed because of this like situation that we've gone through. And then there's going to be a lot of things that will happen that will be like very artificial trends where you might see usage and engagement of certain products, as an example, skyrocket during this time. But as you said, like, we'll like just, that is just like, that's artificial. And we'll just kind of disappear over that time. So I think it's like really interesting. And I love the point that you were making around, it's always, to me, it's about solving fundamental problems and like customer problems. And, you know, it's never about like, how do I start a business and make a bunch of money? And I think that's the way we need to like, we have to just approach it and take it like over time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I do want to also talk a lot about, because the thing I feel concerned about at some level is just, you know, employees. Sure, we can talk about companies and their core principles on which they're founded on, whether they're good or bad. Employees are being caught in the fray, collateral damage in a lot of cases, which is unfortunate. I think for companies and whoever is in a very privileged position right now to be in a company where they can still continue to grow and they have a job, they can work from home, it's quite rare. A lot of people listening to this podcast might be in from the world of tech and it seems pretty obvious to them. Like, sure, yeah, we can transition online and go from there and continue operations as normal. But it's not the case for a lot of the economy. So I think it's a very privileged position to be in. I'm personally extremely grateful. And I think right now for anyone who's working at home, it's like, it's not, I would say we're not in a 9-to-5 world anymore. There's a lot more work that all of us have to put in. There's a lot more work that I think we're going to have to do without seeing short-term rewards anymore. It's time for everyone to kind of put their game face on and work as hard as they can. And I think everyone will make it through. But it's, you know, we've all pretty on in aggregate used to a very comfortable and familiar lifestyle. So there's a lot of change happening here. I know in your own organization, you've seen a decent amount as well of layoffs. And, you know, we were talking about other companies in Toronto as well. Greg, like, what are your thoughts on that and the employee kind of perspective here?
Yeah, I think it's like, there's a lot to like break down here, right? I think for one thing, you know, a lot of things that you're seeing across the industry right now, it's just companies is doing what they need to do to honestly survive, right? In a lot of cases, especially with early like stage like companies where they're not a sustainable business there, right? Like they haven't got to like a break even or to focus, like they got into profitability. So like they need to do those things. That's like the first and foremost thing. So you have to make like really hard and fundamental tough decisions. And then on top of that, like it makes it really difficult for any organization going through that because it's like any types of decisions that like you you're going to always have like employee morale issues, right? And like cultural challenges that will go through with any of those types of tough conversations, like tough decisions that the organization needs to make for like that survival. And then on top of that, everyone's work from home. So it's not like you can have that physical connection to do those things, right? Like, and then on, and then the other challenge of that is like, as you have to part ways with those, you know, colleagues that you have for any of those organizations, it makes it tough because you know the industry they're going into isn't ideal right now. You know, it's going to be really, really hard for them. So it's like, it's not an easy situation to kind of go through, like from like a, from an, like an employee perspective, right? And it's definitely not even for, like really hard for anyone that's like a leader within an organization that has to make these calls, because like anyone who has a conscious and is an empathetic person will have a deep connection to the challenges of making these really, really hard decisions. And you have to make these hard decisions in order for you to survive. And I think it's extremely difficult. And I really wonder like, where do companies like kind of go from here after things like normalize, and what does that look like? And, you know, I'm in the mindset of like, it's probably going to be like companies focusing on sustainability. They've learned now that like, they want to control their destiny. They don't want to be in this mindset of like, okay, we have to continually hit these targets. We have to take more and more money on, but it's almost like a house of cards. Like, how do we build the right foundational things? And let's accept that like maybe the way we were doing things wasn't right. And then you have to go back and you have to look at like, why weren't we doing things right to begin with? And what was the problem there originally, right? And not just like saying we shifted there, like making sure that we, more importantly, if you want to make that change in both sustainability, you need to change how you do things, I think, is the biggest thing. So if you think about companies, it's not just like saying like, hey, unsustainable growth got us here and we have to apply the same mindset. It's actually the opposite. It's like saying to yourself, okay, how do we have to think about sustainability? How do we have to do those things? What do we need to change as an organization and culture to do those things? And I think that will be a much harder thing to accomplish for organizations. It's easy to say you want to do something. It's harder to actually go do it, to fundamentally change how you've been operating. Because the something that gets you to point A and made you super successful won't be the thing that gets you to point B that makes you what you need to do, right? And what makes that really, really difficult for any organization out there, you sometimes come to the realization that like maybe who you are or the team you have in place might not be the right people to get you to point B. And like that is very difficult to have, because it's like when you start to have those conversations, you realize you're like, oh, well, what is next? Maybe I'm the problem why this company get there. Like maybe I'm not the person that actually does that overall. And I think that is like some interesting things and developments that are probably going to be happening with these companies that have had to do a lot of these downsize implications. And it's like, where do we go from here? And what does that look like? But I think overall, like it is going to be, we don't know what this looks like, but over the next 6 months, we'll have a better idea of these companies that focus on sustainability and if they can survive, and then if they can do what's necessary to figure out like what next is. And I think these next 6 months will be pivotal for those companies in order to get to that sustainable growth. And you will learn really fast if they'll be able to do it or not. And I think that is something that we don't know the answer to right now.
For sure. Yeah. And I really think of these next 6 months for us there. And I've said this multiple times in our team as well. It's like preseason for us right now. Like this is, you know, the teams that practice the hardest right now, that work the hardest. I think we're going to, you know, thankfully, if we keep moving at the rate that we are as a company, Feedloop anyway, we'll do well over these next 6 months. It wouldn't necessarily be the case, but I think probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, the realization really hit me that the product is at the core of everything. You know, we launched a couple of product updates, which product-led marketing, that was the first time I saw it in action, that led us to have like a 4x increase in the number of leads and opportunities that came our way. And these are all people, and we're offering them products for free right now because we know that they're going to be an incredible source of, you know, expanded customers and just like lifetime value once this whole thing sort of blows over. We're betting a lot on our product right now. Our product is central. We've re-architected a lot of our customer service strategy. And at the very center of that is our product. The product is everything for us. And we're going to be focusing heavily on investing in product. We'll ideally be hiring more engineers. We're going to be working really hard on that, because the product is what addresses the problem that we're really trying to solve here. And a lot of the vanity things that we were investing in earlier are now sort of benched because we're a product company, along with probably most other tech companies that might be listening to this, especially in the B2B world. Like the product is just, it's everything for us. So we're heavily focused on that, and also not on patchwork solutions. Like, you know, in our industry, virtual events have become a big thing. And naturally, again, because, you know, just events have been canceled in blanket, like it just, the whole industry is just canceled. And there are some companies who are, you know, building, partnering with other platforms, which I think is great, but integrating other things and all of that. And their patchwork kind of solutions, I think, to just get something up so that you can market yourself as a virtual event company. For us, we're just working day and night to build our own core architectures, our own systems. They allow us the flexibility to offer our products for free, help the industry, but also build our pipeline. And I think the core concepts of just like running a good business should not be lost in the madness that's around us right now. There's a lot of noise around us. It's very difficult. And the last thing I'm just going to say on a slightly different topic, what we were talking about earlier, and I think, you know, sort of the end of the conversation on my side, is just back to the point of layoffs and all of that. I see a lot written online, and I hear a lot of people talking as well about like demonizing leadership and CEOs that might be laying people off, or and elevating those who make these grand promises that we're not going to lay anybody off, or, you know, all these things. Yeah, I think it's a very difficult situation for employees. I myself consider myself an employee of this company in every single way, but leadership and founders and CEOs of companies, they're going to try to make the best decisions that they can, I hope and I believe. And, you know, there are going to be some losses. There might not be in some cases, but giving them the ability to make those decisions without feeling horrible about them, or without feeling, you know, like they're being put on a pedestal in any way if they're doing something that everyone else thinks is really good. I think it's important giving leadership the ability to make decisions that make the most sense in the context of the company. And that's an important point. I think we're sort of sometimes forgetting that and only looking at it on one side of the equation. But anyway, Greg, I mean, a lot of great conversation. I'd love for you to kind of close this out with your final thoughts, and I'll look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Yeah, for sure. I think you gave me two thoughts there. I think on like the leadership element of like making these really hard decisions on like, you know, obviously like staff reductions, like it is a fundamental hard thing to do. This to me is all about leading with like empathy, and that is like having empathetic leaders is like a really big thing, right? And if you have to make these hard decisions, it's about doing things the right way and being open and transparent and supporting your employees that haven't been affected, because it will affect them, and doing what is right for the employees that you have to let go, right? You know, I've seen a lot of great organizations that like, they're like recruiting and talent team that will actually help them and will set up workshops for them and really will go the extra mile. And I think doing those things, because at the end of the day, like if you have to make these hard decisions, you have to live by the values that you've established as an organization. So even in these tough decisions, you have to, what are your values, and live by them. And just because you have to make this very hard decision, as long as you follow them in the way that you believe as a leader, I think that's what's fundamentally important. And because if you don't do that, then you don't come off as authentic, right? And that's where you'll like lose employees of an organization. And the most important thing is to get, as a leader, you need to get them to follow you, right? And it's not by telling you, right? Everyone knows this. Like a manager is a title. People will decide if you're a leader, right? So you need to be able to get to bring the company back and direct them in the right way and be supportive and to do the things. And what it really always comes down to is employees will see right away if you're living those values or not, I think is like the first point. And then I think just to kind of end things off, as you were talking about earlier, just around like some of the stuff you're doing around Feedloop and like product-led growth, I think what's really interesting is we'll start to see probably different trends happen within organizations. I think a couple of things are going to pop up real fast. I think you're going to start to see recurring revenue and SaaS become even more important for organizations, or figuring out a revenue streams that diversify your potential product offering, right? So what you'll start to see is like, it all becomes about your product. It's about trying to drive as much value as possible. And then you'll need to think about different ways on how you monetize off of that, right? If you can create a tremendous amount of value, then you need to figure out ways if you can do that, then that unlocks someone's like willingness to pay for you. And that willingness to pay could come from a person or a business that wants to pay for you, or it could come through like ad revenue as an example, right? But I think you'll start to see that to diversify, to create like more defensibility overall. And then I think you'll start to fundamentally see even more product-led growth strategies, right? How do you leverage product-led growth to like help you acquire customers? How do you leverage product-led growth to maybe not have this a massive sales team where product does your job for you, right? I think you're going to start to see more of like these, and you start to think about more sustainability and moving away from like call it brunt force. You're going to start to see that like the product, it becomes everything that we do. And doing that and focusing on those things will actually unlock massive growth opportunities, both on like a revenue monetization model, but also in a way to acquire customers and building better like sustainability overall. And I think that is what some interesting things to watch out for after this all normalizes. But I think that's where for a lot of these companies, that's where their head is at right now and where they'll have to do as they come out on the other side. So I think on that one, I think it's for us is like to kind of sit back and to see if those things actually happen and like what changes and what doesn't. And I think the ones that change towards that type of mentality are going to be successful. And the ones that don't are probably going to cease to exist over probably the short, over the short time frame that we have over our horizon right now. So I think it's really, really interesting. And we're going to really kind of see what happens next. But I think this has just been one really interesting conversation that we've had in the growth equation that I'm happy that we got to talk about. And hopefully some listeners got value in us kind of rambling on about what was, you know, can take their mind off a little bit of the coronavirus and what they read over on Twitter or social media, that we could just have a really interesting conversation on figuring out where do we go from here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and not to end on a dark note, but this is going to be something that's going to have a very, very long-term effect, both directly and then the cascading effects of this. So this is not, hopefully for most people, it's clear that this is not something that's just going to disappear. We have a very long road ahead of us, but it doesn't have to feel long if we adjust our strategies, if we, you know, accept it, adopt the new normal, work through it, innovate, take care of each other, stay safe, all of that. And we'll come out on the other end stronger than we ever have before. You know, business is important. It drives the economy. It drives people's lives, all of that. But of course, health is number one. So taking care of that is critical. But yeah, take care of each other, work hard, do your best. This is also a great time to reach out to people and make new friends. If you want to chat with Greg or I, just give us a shout on LinkedIn or anything like that. We'd be more than happy to. Otherwise, we'll look forward to seeing you all on the next episode of The Growth Equation. Stay safe, everyone.
Sounds great.